Buy a bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed a shelter pet. Buy another bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed more shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Every time you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet in need, helping them become healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/radio or tap the banner to learn more.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
And so anyhow, Ken was telling me, Pastor, he said, they're telling me now I can't do this on my own time. So I knew Ken was going to obey God rather than man. And if that's how he felt that the Lord was telling him to do, I knew Ken was going to do it. And so I said, well, who is it? I want to know who it is in charge who's making these decisions to tell you that you can't on your own time. So he gave me a name and a number, and I gave him a call. And I says, first of all, I says, that's a violation of Ken's right. You can't do that. This sounds to me like a case we have to take to the radio, and maybe I need to get you to come on and explain your actions. And rather than do that, they just said, just forget it. And they left him alone, and he continued visiting the children. But Ken had a heart as big as all outdoors. He came out many, many years and helped to save babies out there at the abortion mill. And then, last but not least, I want to talk about the fellow that was with me the longest, Pastor Fred Haig. Fred was a fellow who, former Navy submarine veteran, and Fred was a guy who was a very, very, very knowledgeable Bible study, a Bible teacher, and he was very, very reliable. You could count on Fred. He's going to be there. And he always would do things, you know, whenever I needed a hand with something, he was there. He would be with me. When we went to, sometimes we would have 25 men there on death row. And Fred was very, very knowledgeable, and they just loved to sit and let him teach him a class. And, of course, he taught classes at Doers of the Word for many years and part of the King's Word School of the Bible. But he was loved, highly regarded by so many people. And, you know, again, his hair, Fred was 80 years old, and his hair was still dark. He didn't turn gray. And what a great fella he was. And him and his wife, they had a really close relationship. Everywhere you'd see one of them, the other would be there. They'd always go every place together. And she sure does miss him, Sandy.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, and so, anyhow, Fred was with me for probably 40 years. Probably 40 years. And those were, so I just want to give a memorial to all of those good men. Every one of them beat us home, Joe. And so,
well, they're waiting for us, and they'll be there to welcome us in.
Well, I'll tell you who won't be there unless they repent and change their ways, and that's the Democrats. And guess what? Some of them are starting to repent and change their way. We're going to play a little clip because a lot of Democrats are saying no more, Democrat no more. They're starting to figure out how corrupt their party is. Would you play that clip there, Ken?
Joining me now is two of the men you just saw, Reverend Ruben Diaz Sr., former New York City Council member representing the South Bronx, and Andre Drayton, Bronx resident. Both are longtime Democrats who are now supporting Trump. Reverend Diaz, you have a new fan. Her name is my mother. She said she recognized your kind and gentle spirit, and she talked about you a lot last night when we were on the phone. I was just amazed by what you had to say, and I want to know, you know, lifelong Democrat, elected official, no less, for decades, what was the moment you said, I can't do this anymore?
Well, you know, I have been, for years already, have been, feeling the pain, feeling the abandonment in which the Democratic Party has put us. But then there was no Republican no Republican that decided to, you know, come to the Bronx and pay attention to us. But Donald Trump has done it in such a way that it is. I never imagined myself. I never imagined the thing that I'm seeing in the Bronx street. When I walk the street, taxi drivers, car, I mean, people, senior citizens, everybody's moving to Trump. And wow. I'm so excited. By the way, last week I was in this program, and Laura Ingraham asked me a question. And she asked me, the rally that's going to happen from 1 to 10, what number will you give, Reverend? And I told Laura,
12.
I'm giving 11.
Oh, 11.
I said, I'm giving 11. But I made a mistake. It was 15.
15. Wow, that's pretty hot. And I would have to agree with you on that. You know, Andre, I was reading what you sent to our producers. And one of the things I saw, it was a statement. You said, I became a Republican as of yesterday. 5/23/24. What happened yesterday?
Well, basically, I was going to make the change. I was already fed up. Mm-hmm. But I don't play around. And when I make up my mind, and I've done my research very well, very extensively, I'm well-versed on what's going on. I don't need to just, you know, wait and procrastinate, things of that nature. And I saw the voting tables, and I said, let's just get this out the way and move forward.
So they were registering people there yesterday.
They were registering Great. People, but I was a registered Democrat.
Wow.
And I just said, how do I do this? How do I just change this and take the whole Democratic thing out of the picture? I'm a Republican right now.
Love it.
Just walk me through it. And it was real simple. Yeah. And that's what I did. And that's what I felt. And I'll never have any regrets.
Wow.
I understand.
Well, welcome to the party. Welcome to the movement.
Thank you.
Look, there is this conspiracy theory, and I want to play it for you, Reverend Diaz. This is MSNBC, and here's their thoughts about what happened yesterday.
The Bronx, which boasts a Hispanic and Black majority, might seem like an odd choice for a man who echoes Hitler on immigration.
That audience is not the Bronx. What he's trying to do is to signal to other people, signal to people in swing states who are yeah. white, who don't want to be thought of as voting for a racist, to soften the ground
That's
there
right.
and say, well, maybe he's not such a racist.
I mean, Reverend, so this crowd wasn't the Bronx. You've represented the Bronx. What did you see?
Those tactics that the Democrats use to scare us and to sometimes to make shame of us. Even the governor of New York State said that we were clowns. Last week, she said that the young Black guys from the Bronx, they were stupid practically, but she said that they don't even know what the word computer means. So that's what they do mm-hmm. to us. And they, when someone like Donald Trump come to us and show respect and give us the knowledge what we really are and try to bring us up, that's what they do. But we are learning, and it is not working anymore.
You know, Andre, as a new Republican, what do you think when you hear your governor say that the people at the rally were clowns?
I think it's very disrespectful. And I think that they try to use the race card to divide us, to make us see it as a racial thing. But the country is, you know, just so much in disarray that you have to think American. You're missing the whole point. We're American.
Yes.
And, you know, that was one of the tipping points for me when this illegal immigration thing came into play. Yeah. They're just forgetting we're American. I've never been out the country a day in my life.
Hmm. Yeah. We're Americans. That is such a beautiful sentiment. Andre, so impressed with everything you've had to say. Mm-hmm. Reverend Diaz, not only are we Americans, we're brothers and sisters in Christ.
Absolutely.
I know that. So thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
All righty. We're back.
Hey,
you know,
into that last line, brothers and sisters in Christ, because we all are part of the family of God.
Oh, absolutely. It's... God,
the
they see
it's so funny to me, this, you know, days like this where we're thinking in the past. You and I remember growing up where people, families, went to church on Sunday. Businesses were closed. People didn't lock their homes at night. Children played out till dark all summer. Every mother on the block kind of was watching the kids, kept an eye on things, but they were allowed to run around different yard, up and down around. And it was such a joyful, peaceful world. There were problems, but nothing like the world today. It was such a wonderful, wonderful time to be a child, and the innocence and the joy, the happiness. And I look around and I do not see that happiness today, except the only happiness like that I see are in the families of real born-again believers, Christians, good, solid families with mother and father who are together taking care of the children. But the world has changed so much, and not for the better. And it's kind of like you remember when they say the good old days. Well, folks, there really were good old days when, the church was the center.
The opposition, Joe, the opposition, those the so-called women from The View and that, say that we have a tendency to remember the good times, but not all of the bad times in those days. And but there were. There were good old days. There was a difference. People were, first of all, there was, divorce was not nearly as high as it is today. And, it wasn't even close to it. In fact.
Well, even thefts. I mean, our whole neighborhood, people didn't lock their homes. There was no need to, because there was no stealing and stuff. You weren't worried about the kids being kidnapped. People didn't even steal lawnmowers, and people left things out, and it was better. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
And we didn't have so many children end up missing.
No. Missing children didn't happen. Once in a while, there was a family where there was an alcoholic or a problem, but for the most part, things were very, very peaceful and very nice.
Families have been targeted in every way you can imagine to be divided. Today, these smart aleck phones, parents, I don't care, they should not give in to peer troubles and give their kids these smart aleck phones, these phones. They just shouldn't do that. And I know that there are some that aren't really smartphones. They look like phones, but they're really not. They look just like it, but they just have games and things on that, okay? And I found that out because, I saw some little ones with it, and I thought, what in the world? But then I realized that you couldn't call anybody or anything like that. It just, it was just games you couldn't get, and that's good there. But today the families, they don't sit at the dinner table and talk. We used to do things together.
And we played games, and we, played games together, indoor, outdoor. There was a lot of activities where even neighborhoods would get together, and there'd be neighborhood block parties and things. It was just much nicer, friendlier, happier times. One thing I have is some Ronald Reagan quotes I'd like to do tonight. He was talking about Memorial Day and about honoring the Americans who died. And he was talking about how, we should be, there should be some somberness. So, we shouldn't let the barbecues, the picnics, and the opening of the swimming pools and things overshadow. He said, "Let us hope for peace, prepare for war, and remember the sacrifices of those who died in military service to America." And he was talking about the crawl across America, the flags would be placed in the graves and cemeteries. This was back then. They don't do that much, as much anymore. And he said, "I have no illusions about what little I can add now to the silent testimony of those who gave their lives willingly for their country. Words are even more feeble on this Memorial Day, for the sight before us is that of a strong and good nation that stands in silence and remembers those who were loved and who in return loved their countrymen enough to die for them." Yet we must try to honor them, not for their sakes alone, but for our own. And if words cannot repay the debt we owe these men, surely with our actions we must strive to keep faith with them and with the vision that led them to battle and to the final sacrifice. Reagan called it a wonder and a mystery that so many Americans were willing to give their lives so that the U.S. citizens could be free. And he went on to talk about the heroes of the different wars all the way through, you know, up. And he wrapped up calling the nation. He said, as we honor their memory today, let us pledge that their lives, their sacrifices, their valor shall be justified and remembered for as long as God gives life to this nation. Ah, I saw that. God gives life to this nation. And let us also pledge to do our utmost to carry out what must have been their wish, that no generation of young men will ever have to share their experiences and repeat their sacrifice. I thought, what a wonderful, wonderful way to speak about Veterans Day. But that part, you know, as long as God gives life to this nation. And God had blessed America. We were like the Jews were given the promised land. Christians were given America. It was, well, you know, yeah, really the birthplace of freedom. And if we remember in the founding fathers and the founding documents, we were born, you know, a Christian nation. And what did it say? And to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. These are the things we were given, you know. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. We are endowed by their Creator with these unalienable rights. That means God-given rights. Well, among these, the first are life. That's why we're so pro-life. Liberty and the pursuit of happiness, being able to choose what we want to do, how we want to make our living, how we want to serve. And that, I think, with Memorial Day for the men, it was so many of the men and women that died were the Christians from the Bible Belt. They've always been the backbone of our military up until, I think, the last, I don't know what, 10, 20 years. It was the Christian country boys that were the backbone of all our military services. You saw that in the service. I know I saw it. And I remember back our family tree and my, you know, father's side, my mother's side, going back, all the men, all the boys that went to war and served World War One and Two. And that is one of the big changes that I regret that we don't have anymore, right?
Absolutely, and I know the same thing with my family. We had myself and two of my brothers, and then we had all my uncles, but all of them, not all of them, all but a couple of them, all served in World War II. And in fact,
my father lost his brother, and on my mother's side, they go all the way back to, do you remember the Sam Brown belt that they wore back in what was World War One, the cross belt with the holster and everything?
Yeah.
One of my relatives was General Sam Brown belt, on General Sam Brown, the man that came up with the belt. And I had, I'm like you, it was both sides all the way back to, we had somebody that was supposedly a general under Washington. So when it came time to serve, it was kind of like a no-brainer. Well, everybody on both sides, as far back as anybody remembered, went to war. And that's what you did. It was a family tradition, defending the country, God, family, country, that order, God, family, country.
Right. But again, like I said, the family has been under attack. And so many of them, this country has never been so biblically illiterate as it is today. You know, it's you ask these college kids, you know, who was Moses? you know, and most of them don't even know. And so, there you go. I mean, it's they're really, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And they have really been dumbed down, and the families have been just destroyed. This is why, we emphasize so much in our church and our teachings, my preaching for 50 years is upon the strong family relationship. And so, anyhow.
Yeah, if we got time, I've got a couple of blasts from the past, some quotes from some very famous people. I want to start with, if I can, Ronald Reagan again. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. Boy, does that apply right now? That's so true today. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-thought lessons of how they, in their lifetime, must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children or our children's children what it was once like in America when men were free. And I thought, Pastor, that sums up this election that we're in, that coming up. So much depends this time on stopping this communist revolution and stopping this liberal takeover of America. Then we got FDR, who said, those who have long enjoyed such privileges as we enjoy forget in time that men have died to win them. Yeah, I think that's true today, too.
It is, but you know, Joe, you have more people, including President Trump, who is still the legitimate president of the United States. You have more people talking about and asking, are we going to war? Are we going to have, is there going to be a war? And even President Trump, he said he is very concerned about, with all of these that have been brought in, the Chinese national soldiers, and they're here, 50,000 on our soil. And all of that Biden has brought in, and Biden knows, and the deep state Communist Party, they know that if Trump gets back into office, they're going to prison, or they're going to be tried for treason. They know that. And so the question is that, you know, that Biden is bringing as many in as possible to start. He would like to see a revolutionary war here again on our soil. And so,
I'm sure they would.
But the Democrats, some of the Democrats are actually saying, I'm afraid that's going to happen. They're actually, they don't want to, they're actually acknowledging that this country is on the verge of a bloody civil war. Remember, and I told people, remember how many times I told them, look around during the election time, the signs, people have Biden signs in their yard. When the shooting starts, if this happens, that person's your enemy. That person helped get him in there, and you can't trust that person, okay? Because they know better. And here's the other thing, too. It's an interesting thing because, you know, RFK is running. And RFK is pro-death. He's pro-abortion.
Yeah.
And he's pro-sodomite. He's pro-sodomite. And what is the number one platform for the Democratic Communist Party? It's abortion. It's killing.
Number one, and sodomy is number two.
They're the party of death and sin.
Sin.
The Democratic Party is the party of death and sin. And this is why we prayed, you know, the imprecatory prayer in order to save some innocent people, especially the children, too, out there, because they're the party of pedophilia, too. Is that God would either, if they refuse to repent, that he would return that death. They want death. They want death. All of these people that want death, they want abortion. He should return that upon their own heads. Place that death that they want upon them. And that way, and of course that was like Jeremiah's prayer. And we look out through scriptures and David's, the imprecatory prayers. Boy, you need today. We have these prissy preachers that just don't have, and that's the reason things are the way they are. They haven't had the courage. They haven't had the courage to preach the truth. And again, judgment begins in the house of God and begins in that pulpit. And you can trace it right back. They're the ones that are the most responsible for the way that this country is today, because they forgot, they put the offering plate out. They feared government more than God, and they worshiped the offering plate more than God. And that's what's happening today. And so
a couple more of these quotes I found. You might like this one. Without memory, there is no culture. Without memory, there will be no civilization, no society, no future. Elie Wiesel. I thought that was very stirring, because when we forget our past, we don't know what we're living for, creating for, working for, and that's happened. Theodore Roosevelt once said, "Never throughout history has a man who lived a life of ease left a name worth remembering." Wow. True, right?
Well, that reminds me that Elie Wiesel was a Holocaust survivor. And just remind me that they just used the FACE Act to convict a 90-year-old Holocaust survivor. A Jewish lady who was out there at the killing centers, at the abortion mills.
Right. And they went after him.
It's a her.
Oh, her. I mean, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she was a Holocaust survivor. Yeah. And they wanted to put her
in prison
for 11 years. They wanted to give her 11 years.
At 90 years old. Yeah, we did that story a few weeks back.
Yeah, it's just absolutely. That's how corrupt that federal government has become. Mm-hmm. It has become completely and totally corrupt. And
here's
again,
one from Patton that sounds like something you've said in the past. It is better to fight for something in life than to die for nothing. We've always talked about we'd rather die on our feet than live on our knees. Goes along with that. And then it's something else. He said, it's foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. This is George Patton. Rather, we should thank God we had such men that lived.
Yeah, absolutely.
And finally, the humorist Mark Twain, old Samuel Clemens. Patriotism is supporting your country all the time, your government when it deserves it.
Yeah.
And today, unfortunately, we have a government that doesn't deserve the patriotism, does it?
Well, Thomas Jefferson said that when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. But when the government fears the people, you have liberty.
Amen to that.
And that's true. And today, the pro-lifers, if you're a righteous person, the government is against you.
Yeah, and, they sure are.
Yeah, they are.
I wonder how many of the listeners out there know that Memorial Day was officially proclaimed back on the 5th day of May in 1868 by General John Logan, the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic. And he had his famous General Order No. 11 and was first observed on the 30th of May, 1868, when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington's National Cemetery. That's when it started, the real first beginning of Memorial Day in America.
Joe, I think we ought to open the phones and take some calls in the time we have left. The folks out there just want to make a comment, about memorials. What does Memorial Day mean to you? And so the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. And that fellow I was telling you about earlier who will be with us, Joe, tomorrow is Trevor Loudon.
Trevor Loudon, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so anyhow, there you go. We'll be back right after this.
Why are you marching, son? I'd really like to know. because of Valley Forge or perhaps the Alamo? Or one if by land, two if by sea? A trumpet's call, the will to be free? What of a man who stood straight and tall, who wept silent tears when he saw brave men fall? No matter, no difference, the blue or the gray, all were his brothers. How often he'd pray. And what of Antietam, that now peaceful stream where the water blood red glittered and gleamed? Appomattox, Chickamauga, Vicksburg, Bull Run, Cumberland, Gettysburg, and then Washington. Why are you marching, son? In Flanders field, how proud were they whose forms beneath the poppies lay? Men who saw Verdun and died at the Marne, Soissons, and those who tried the fearful foe at Chateau Thierry, who fought, bled, whose hearts grew weary, but in whose minds one thought kept churning, that the torch of liberty keep burning. Why are you marching, son? The plain swarmed in, and the rising sun glowed fiercely on the evil done to men whose blood runs through our veins. Men who died, whose remains lie forever locked in waters deep. Now is it right that they should sleep while the warm sea laps at a twisted hull and see the torch of liberty grow dull? Anzio, Cassino, Poe, Saint-Mary-Glace, Limon, St. Lô, Garda Lake, and Buchenwald. On and the roll is called. And why? Why are you marching, son? Bugles shrilled in the frozen night, and at first dawn, the awful sight of seas of men, row after row left to die on bloodstained snow. Busan, Pyongyang, Suwon, Gyeongju, and blood red ran the swift Yalu. In South Vietnam, the big guns roared, and once again we fought a war. To honor a pledge our nation gave, to help that little country save her people from the certainty that she'd be ruled by tyranny. No matter where the big guns roar, our fighting men, like those before, take the torch we all held dear and face freedom's enemies without fear. Our fathers died from sea to sea and blessed the torch of liberty. Why? Why are you marching, son?
All right, we're back, and let's take Jack. Jack, you're in the air.
Good evening, Pastor Sanders.
How are you?
I don't mean any disrespect, but I felt slighted when you opened your program this evening at 10 o'clock, and you told the gentleman, you and him told each other, Happy Memorial Day. It's not a happy day. What should have been said was, may you have a peaceful and a blessed Memorial Day.
All right, I'll go along with that.
But you guys should have never said that. That's not right.
Okay. Joe, apologize.
You're right. For me, it's a very sad holiday. I lost an awful lot of good friends and comrades.
So did I.
But
yeah, I did, too.
I get happy in the sense of honoring and cherishing the memory of all those wonderful people that served this nation so well and turn it into something good.
Correct. You're absolutely right. You gentlemen have a very blessed holiday.
All right. Thanks, Jack. You do the same. Let's go.
I want to say, and I think the quote that Pastor Joe read from General Patton has kind of summarized that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit there.
Absolutely.
Thank God that we had men like that. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let's go to Texas when Terry...
Hello, this is Terry from Texas.
Hey, Terry.
I just got to say today about flag etiquette. Seems like we're into etiquette today of Memorial Day, which I think is a very proper term to be looking at. Anyway, come to find out, my neighbor, who's a retired Marine, has a mast at full. It is supposed to be at half mast until afternoon, then raise it back to the top. I think the etiquette is to bring it to the top, then lower it back down to half mast, and then new, raise it back up. And also, the proper disposal of a flag is either to burn it or to bury it, according to flag etiquette. Do you know about that?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, we were.
Yeah, I remember. I think the prescribed way was to burn it. I think you can bury it, but most of the time, I think the military would burn the flags.
Yeah,
because everybody all over the world is burning a flag is a matter of disrespect now, dum-dums.
Well, the way they burn the flag, it's not done in a respectful way.
And they stomp on it and everything else.
They burn a damaged and tattered and torn flag that's no longer serviceable.
I agree. But anyway, it's the attitude as much as it is the fight. But it's kind of like a guy I heard, he said he fought for the right. I'm an ex-Marine myself. I should say I was an active duty Marine, now I'm an active. But anyway, the proper, I got off on that and forgot what I was going to say. Hey, I have a little senior moment too, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah. Well,
from I've heard all my Marine friends, once a Marine, always a Marine. You'll be a Marine till the day you die.
Yep.
That's right, you're stuck in that group. That's a good group to be stuck in. But anyway, I was going to get back along the flag etiquette. I can't get back to it right now, but I'll call you back next year.
All righty. You have a great one. Thanks, Terry.
You had a good point, though. Memory of things like that, tradition. We're losing a lot of that traditions and reason for doing things, respecting the flag. It's no longer really in vogue like it used to be.
Well, that was the topic. My theme of me when I was speaking today was that America was great because she was good.
Good.
And and what's happened? She's not good anymore, but. You know, the Bible says all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. And as we prayed, we said, Lord, right here, there are people here, Lord, the remnant. We have not forgotten you. We're here today to call upon you and to have us, to show us, Lord, how can we bring America back to one nation under God the way you gave it to us, a good nation. And that was the whole theme of the message today. And that's what people, I think, more and more people in this country want. And I'm hoping that whatever takes place, if we have that war, I think that war will probably fall out in such a way that it might bring revival. You know, that's what happens when people realize when things really get bad. You know, they wait until times really get bad, and then they call upon the name of the Lord, where they've got no place else to go. As they said in that song that they used, that one woman used to sing, I've got, praying is the only thing. I've got nowhere else to go, so now I'm going to pray, you know.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's what happens. They wait till there's no other thing to do.
Yeah.
And it should be the first thing that's done, not the last.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know that I've had times when we've had really, really busy days, and we've gotten behind, and people would say to me, Pastor, we're really running late. We need to, we need to cut this prayer meeting short. And I said, no, it's because of what's happening. We need to make it longer. We need to pray more when we have so much to do, and so few people to do it.
Yeah, or even like at a banquet or a feast, somebody's always saying, oh, you know, cut the grace short because the food will get cold. Well, you've got this wonderful meal. You should be thanking the author of the feast and thanking him that food is going to give you more days to celebrate life and enjoy, and live, love, laugh, and enjoy, and serve him. So it's not a time to shortcut him. It's a time to honor him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Joe, there's one remedy. God gives you the remedy. There's no stuttering there. To bring America back to one nation under God, to make her good again. That's what you hear all the time, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But that might be a good thing to turn and just go there to 2 Chronicles, but start with verse 12. And if we did that, let me just turn there real quick. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Well, we know that this was a Christophany. We know that the Lord Jesus appeared to him in the form of a man. How do we know that? Well, every place in the Bible where he appeared in a dream or he appeared in a vision, it said he appeared in a dream or it said he appeared
right.
in a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And but since it doesn't say that here, we know.
What plainly appeared to him by night, came unto him, I've heard you praying.
Yep.
So he was praying in bed, you know, I mean, as he was laying, going to sleep. So, yeah, that's quite clear to me that Jesus comes in to talk to him direct.
This next verse, Joe, there's an entire sermon in this next verse. There's an entire sermon here, and here's why. He says, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now, he's asking a question there. The question is, who is to judge me for what I do? Who is to judge me? Remember what we said, everything that God does is right. And so he's making a point here. If I decide to do that, who is going to judge me for doing that? Because you belong to me, everything here. And
he created everything. Everything right. is his.
Right.
We're his. And, the earth is his.
Yeah. And so he was making that point there. And today people better realize that everything that God said he would do, he has either already done the vast majority of it, and he will complete that. And, you know, this idea that, well, you know, I believe in science. God created science.
Science, yeah. And yeah. I believe in God, so I believe in the real science. But where it talks about if I shut up heaven and no rain, if you look at Job 37, it's talking, well, 36 and 37, the chapters of Job, he's talking about water vapor, the clouds, the weather, the rain, the snow, all the things having to do with the thick clouds, he waters them. And then it says, in verse 13 of Job 37, he, God, causes it to come, weather, or the moisture, whether for correction, for his land, or for mercy. So he can bring weather to correct wrong for the land because he loves the land he created, or for the mercy, he has mercy upon those who live on it. So it can be judgment. It can be just to take care of his land, or mercy for his people. And he makes it quite clean. It's his earth, and the weather's his. He controls it, and it happens according to his will also.
Absolutely. Now, here, one of the things that, you know, I do want to make clear is because a lot of people, I know that you hear a lot of pastors preaching this message about, and this could bring revival, And that's true, but, you know, all of the Bible was written for us, but not all of it was written to us. And this is a covenant that he's making very clearly here with the nation of Israel. And he says, now, remember, that there's two people, two nations that are called by the name of God, by his name. And that's Israel and Christians. If any people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their way, their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, God's immutable. He's immutable. That means what?
He cannot change.
He does things the same way all the time now.
Every time.
So, the application, even though this is a covenant made with Israel, the application can apply to the church, too. Here, all people that... and so he's telling Israel to repent of their sin, and today, basically, they have to repent and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, huh?
Exactly, because God said what, you know? the wages of sin are death, and he also tells us that, you know, whether you want it, like it or not, you're a sinner. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by death, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12.
Yep. Let me read that verse again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Does he mean, you know, how many times have you heard people say, well, he's a self-made man or he's a self-made millionaire? Has there ever been a self-made millionaire or a self-made man?
No, because we were all created and given different gifts and talents and by God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We didn't make ourselves. We didn't say, okay, here's a build-yourself kit. You get to pick your intelligence quota, your abilities, whether you can sing, dance, do mathematics, you know, rocket science or whatever. No, everything was given to you by God.
So if we're intelligent, if we're strong, if we're healthy, if we're handsome, which of those belong to you, Joe? But it's not by
our... We don't have to go there, do we?
Okay, it's not by our merit, but it's by God's grace, huh?
Grace, right.
It's there by grace.
The grace of God, you know. Too many times that we saw things like Cholon was one of those horrible poor cities in Vietnam. The poverty was just unbelievable. And I remember seeing some people out in the dump fighting off rats to get to the food before the rats did. And I remember that phrase there, but by the grace of God, for by the grace of God go
there
I.
There go I, yeah. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attendant to the prayer that is in this place. I remember this verse every time, you know, we gather in prayer. And for the folks out there listening to us, all of you that have been supporting us, every envelope that comes in, we keep that envelope with your name on it. And thank you for the letters. I get so many letters. And we take them and we pray over them. Every single one gets prayed over. Unless we send, we do every now and then get a check without a name on it for cash or anonymous or something. They don't want to be known. Who's sending it? In fact, we actually will have people that would just drop off little packages at the church. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be known that they're supporting our ministry, and we appreciate everything. Now he says here, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name shall be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually.
Perpetually, yes.
How much time do I have, Ken? Okay.
Well, that's especially where he's in mine eyes and heart. His eyes are upon the church, the New Testament church, and his heart is what? With the church perpetually, every second, every minute, every hour of every day, he's there with us, with the body of Christ, you know, never leaves us or forsakes us.
Absolutely. Now, you know, where people keep asking me, do you think the Lord would come back before? Do you think, the rapture will happen before we go to war, before this thing starts? And I don't know. I don't know when it's going to happen. For every individual, every person living out there today, you know, God has never promised you another day or even another hour.
Every hour is a blessing. Every day is a new joy.
This is why they need to right now, to make sure, to make your salvation sure, very, very important that you make your salvation sure. Because between now and this very same time tomorrow, on this planet Earth, millions of people are going to be born and millions of people are going to die. Now, neither those that are born expect to be born, and those that are dying, the vast majority of them, aren't expecting to die. And folks, so... here,
like those
that's
tornado
why,
victims, I don't think any of them were expecting to die Sunday.
Well, we're hoping that, my guess is the ones that heard it coming if they could try to find it, if they had any time at all, they would at least were praying and asking for forgiveness of their sin or praying to the Lord, I hope. Anyhow, because again, like you said, a whole lot of people are going to run out of tomorrows tonight. Don't you be one of them. You don't have to be one of them. God gives you a get out of hell card free. And all you do, the Lord Jesus took your place upon that cross, folks. You got to believe that. He took your place. What the Father required us, a holy God, was a sinless sacrifice, and only Jesus fit the bill. He was the only one that could do that. If he decided not to, well, we would not be here right now today. So I hope that tonight you call upon the name. First you pray to the Father, like Jesus said, and ask him to forgive your sins. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Ask him to forgive your sins. And then you call upon the name of the Lord. Now, Jesus, Joe said, you have to put him first. Remember what he says? He's got to be before mother, father, sister, brother. You got to put him before yourself. Remember, when he took your place upon that cross, he put you first. He didn't have to do that. So you have to put him first and foremost, above everything. And again, ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations, without any exceptions at all. And if you do that, then God will always acknowledge that. You will become a new creature. Now, you say, well, you might not look any different tomorrow. But what you have just done, you had just become a new creature. And then you will become an heir of the kingdom. You will become an heir of the kingdom. You have God's word on that. And then at that point, you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, folks out there, let me tell you, all of what we just told you, you have God's word on. Now, how accurate, how powerful is the word of God? The entire universe is being held into place by God's word.
I heard you. And he cannot lie.
The entire universe was spoken. It was spoken into existence. You say, how could that be? Well, listen again. God explains it very clearly. He tells you that his ways are so much higher. And all you have to do is walk out here on a starlit night, look at this universe and look at all the stars. And remember, he is named. He calls them all by name, the billions of them out there. So his power is unlimited. His power is totally unlimited, folks. And then you say, well, what a concept. How could that possibly be? How could there be such a thing as unlimited power? Well, again, he answers that. And if you take a look at how the content of the Bible and its authority and the fact that there is no better explanation for all of reality than the Bible. We're at that time where we come to now every night at this time. And we say, have a blessed Memorial Day. I hope you all have. And have a good night. We want to say, God bless.
Bless.
And then we want to say always, always, always.
Always.
Ready?
Always.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.